all the controls on this remote unit, the volume is fully variable. Should the telephone ring or guests arrive,
I'm not Mervyn Singer. If you want to listen to him, he's in the other room. But please don't leave. We're going to have an interesting talk. We're going to talk about half an hour about something called foam. It's something very modern. You look like modern people, so this should fit you. Yeah. All good lectures they start with a quote, don't they? So this is our quote. If you want to know how we practiced medicine 5 years ago, read a textbook. If you want to know how we practiced medicine 2 years ago, read a journal. If you want to know how we practice medicine now, go to a conference. If you want to know how we will practice medicine in the future, listen in the hallway and use foam. So that's a good quote, right? I hope this made you interested in that last word, foam. What is it?
Foam is both incredibly easy and almost impossible to describe coherently. Foam is, at face value, an acronym. It's pretty simple. It stands for Free Open Access Medical Education. Easy, got you so far. We can spell that. What is it really? Now, at the face of it, foam describes an interconnected network of websites which are free to the end user. They're blogs and podcasts, they're recorded lectures. But foam itself is so much more than just a bunch of websites. Foam, and the concept that is foam, has grown to become a coming together of the global medical community with as a core value, shared ideals and shared interests. Foam is an emergency physician in Costa Rica discussing the latest trials with a cardiologist in New York, or a rural GP in South Africa discussing the latest ARDS protective ventilation with Jon Hendrik. Foam is a flattening of hierarchies. Foam is the ability of people to flip the classroom upside down, to break down the barriers that exist, the geographical, temporal, economical barriers to learning, so that it changes the way people learn. People are learning on the bus on the way to work. People are learning when they're out with their buggy. People are learning before, during, and after traditional lectures. Foam is inextricably linked, but is independent of these what were called Web 2.0 technology, smartphones and social media. But really, foam is independent of any of these platforms. Foam, well, it all sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes. Come on to the next slide.
The thing is, though, that's not very concrete. Well, what is it really? This is just a very, very small selection of the resources out there which are free to use, which come from all over the world. These are ones which are specific to anaesthesia, intensive care medicine, emergency medicine. Feel free to take a picture of this slide because you're going to want to remember these. These are a combination of websites, a blog website, which are essentially websites which publish a series of articles. The bottom line, they summarize all the major trials, critical care reviews. They send you every single week. They send me anyway.
Yeah, yes.
A summary of all the major literature that's been published that week. You've got podcasts, you've got websites which record lectures, interviews. Rondon podcast, Hemodynamique, this is Australia, this is the USA, this is Sweden.
So this sounds very cute and everything, the whole world coming together, but does anybody really use this?
Well, let's compare it to something you've probably heard of. The New England Journal of Medicine is the print journal with the largest circulation of any medical journal. They've got 200,000 paid subscribers. This is according to their website. Their online site gets about 400,000 page views per week. There's 1.6 million per month. That's a lot. This is the established giant of medical literature.
They're huge.
They are big. Can these guys, you know, is this is just a couple of hundred people sitting around. Well, I tweeted the creator of this Life in the Fast Lane to ask, well, how many people actually look at your website? 5 minutes later, he sent the answer in this graphic. This is the only graph in the whole presentation, so drink it up. It's a good one. Let me describe it. This is a two-month period. Over 5 million page views. This is bigger than the page. This is more page views than the New England Journal of Medicine. They've got 1.7 million users. These are no small fish. These are big. If you want to do another comparison, 2 years ago, just like now, if you Google TTM trial, which I'm assuming everyone's heard of, first hit on Google is the New England Journal of Medicine. That's fair enough. They published it. The second hit on Google is this website, their summary of the trial. In fact, their summary and criticism of certain aspects of the trial. The third hit is the MCRIT podcast's interview with Niklas Nielsen, which happened in the days after the trial was published. People are using these websites.
Okay, so where does social media come into this? I think that when you hear social media, certainly I spoke to colleagues yesterday, and they saw me tweeting from a lecture, what are you doing? Twitter, that's what my children do, or Kim Kardashian does, or Justin Bieber, he tweets. Well, I would say that social media is just the platform, but it's the content that matters. We like some of the tools. Stuart and I, we prefer to use Twitter. Why? Because it's really simple. It's really an easy way to connect with a lot of people at the same time. Okay, Justin Bieber, he uses Twitter and he writes hi and gets 50,000 likes. But we can do the same thing and we can connect with a lot of colleagues at the same time and they can see what we're writing, we can see what they are writing. And I think it's just a brilliant platform and it's free. But at the same time, I don't like you saying the word Twitter, because when I do that and I tell my older colleagues, why don't you get a Twitter account? It's almost like it's kryptonite to Superman. They start walking backwards and, well, it sounds good reading articles, but Twitter? No thanks. Send me an email. But please, just listen us out, and maybe you can get a Twitter account later.
The easiest thing to do is to forget that it's called Twitter and look at what this platform actually is. Just call it a something for now. If you imagine a something which is free, which allows instant communication internationally at any time of the day, which allows the easy sharing of links, articles, and facilitates discussion, something which you can monitor, I'm not saying follow, I don't want to scare you, you can monitor individuals, you can monitor specific topics like this conference. You can change what you monitor at any time. You can start looking at something, you can say, that doesn't interest me, I can change. This allows you to discuss topics, make connections, network, get to know people that you don't know. This something, it's easy to use, and also it's easily incorporated into something which you have in your pocket already. How does it actually work? Where would you even say, okay, fine, you've got me, I'm going to use Twitter. Who can you follow? Who can you look at? And broadly speaking, within medical education, I like to think of it, there are three types of accounts to follow on Twitter if you want to learn. You can follow individual people. These are just three randomly selected people who I don't really have heard of. You can follow these individuals' Twitter accounts. Now, if you think of, I think of it as like we're not going to graph because I don't like graphs, but you've, on the one hand, you've got reliability and the consistency of the information. On the other hand, you've got originality and interest. Now, if you follow individuals, you're a bit further over here. How do I know what I'm reading is true? Well, if you've heard them, that's easier. But there's a certain risk. You can go completely at the other end. All of the major institutions, major journals, have their own Twitter accounts. They share links to all of their studies. When I got my first copy, after I'd passed the European Society of Anesthesia exams, I got my first copy of the European Journal of Anesthesia, I'd already seen all the articles on Twitter. So it's a cover. But these sites have Twitter accounts. These are on the safe side. You know that everything on these Twitter accounts is just as true as everything in the journal. We won't go there, but just as validated as everything in the journal. And then you can follow the Twitter accounts of these phones with specific resources. These are some of the things we saw earlier, but by following these, you'll get their updates straight into your pocket. Nicholas, you say you use Twitter. Do you have any examples, possibly?
I happen to have a really nice anecdote. When I started at Karolinska in 2009, I came into the ICU and I was a bit intimidated by all these people. They were so... they knew all the articles, they could name drop everybody, and it was a bit scary. So I told that to Anders Oldner, professor. He wasn't a professor back then, he was just a kid. And I said, it's a bit scary being here in the ICU, can you help me out? He said, well, of course. And he sat me and a colleague down, Björn, and he gave us a lecture on all the big articles from the start of the millennium. And then afterwards, he sent me an email with PDFs of all the articles. This is the email. And that was such a relief for me. And I remember afterwards that, well, now I'm up and running. This is fun. And after that, I started reading articles and started searching on my own. So that was kind of the start for me. And now, I have a Twitter account, and I have a Twitter network. And one of these dots is Anders Oldner, and one dot is Marjorie Stiegler, and Stuart, this is Stuart. And so I can, if I have a question to Anders Panner in Denmark, I can tweet him or write a message. What do you say about Hess? This guy at lunch, he said we should start using Hess. What do you think? And he could tweet me back maybe. And this is an app where I wrote hashtag intubation last night just to see activity of the use of that word. And so you can see that it's being used almost all over the world, not so much in Greenland. But what I'm trying to say is that if you have a question that regards intubation, you can ask, of course, a senior colleague at your hospital. But you can also ask a senior colleague in India or in London, whatever. You're not limited. And it makes things so much more fun. And you get a lot of feedback, a lot of information that you didn't have before. So, from the outside, it can appear a bit like a cult. People are like, oh, this is great. You have to get into foam. And like us, we're foamaholics. But I would say, if you think this is a bit scary, start with someone or somebody, something that you trust, like start following anesthesiology.
For us,
we're trustworthy. And be very skeptical. Stuart, do you have this?
I think the biggest, there's some very commonly reoccurring concerns that people, and rightly so, you should think about these things, but one of them is, this isn't peer-reviewed. How do you know that any of this is true? It's not peer-reviewed in a sense, in the traditional. It doesn't go through the same process, but this is real-time peer review. If you write rubbish with no references, no one's going to read it. You're going to find out. What all of these websites have in common is the ability to immediately comment, criticize, and refute what is written on the website. And one of the characteristics of foam, and one of the reasons that the name is very good, is the best foam will bubble to the top. If you try to publish things that aren't true, it's going to be peer-reviewed. It's going to be seen by anyone else, anybody. And you're going to find out about it. Another big concern is, well, what happens if one of the residents in my hospital reads that Scott Weingart, no, yours, I guess, has tweeted, everyone should do this. And then he just goes and does it. The new C1D do one, teach one is YouTube one, do one, tweet one. Is if somebody just sees something on the internet and does it, and then it goes wrong, is it phone's fault? A valid concern. I would advocate that you need to go through the same cognitive processes, not just prematurely close, this is a good website, I'll just believe everything. As good as he is, you shouldn't believe everything Anders Oldner says. Do you go through the same cognitive process? Who is this person? Have I ever heard anything they've said before? What does anyone else think about them? What are their credentials? Is this material reference? It's the same cognitive process you'll go through if you're speaking to a colleague in the hallway. And of course you can't just read a tweet and do it, but you read a tweet about something. One example is of something that I wouldn't even really know about in the way that I know about it because of FOAM, is the concept of nasal apneic oxygenation during high-risk RSI. This topic is hotly debated on FOAM. The first time I read it, I just thought, well, what is this? This is something that I've never heard of. And that spawns a domino effect that you'll see one place you'll read articles, you'll go back and read the original articles, and it's much more than just the individual tweets themselves. Another big criticism is, we talked about evidence-based and elegance-based medicine. One of the criticisms against FOAM is that it's charisma-based medicine. That, in fact, just because somebody has a really cool blog or podcast, or somebody sounds really cool with an American accent, and they say everyone should do this because you're an idiot if you don't, then you'll just do it because you won't think. But FOAM isn't a substitute for thinking. FOAM is just a way of... FOAM is... This is a stolen quote from somewhere on Twitter, so I guess it's okay. Is that FOAM is the how, not the what, of medical education. FOAM is a tool, it's a platform. It itself doesn't hold intrinsic value. It's the people who make it happen and the people who write the content, and the content is key. Another criticism, another potential downside is that certain topics will dominate in FOAM. The cool things, surgical airways, helicopters, resuscitative thoracotomy. There's not that many blogs specialising on post-operative nausea and vomiting, day surgery or cannulation or ideal anaesthesia for bowel evacuation. So these kind of things, they're not the cool things on FOAM. So you'll read hundreds of articles on ketamine for roadside trauma, but you won't read much on running out of ideas. But there are websites. There's one website called Boring Emergency Medicine where they try and focus on these other things. But you obviously need to balance what you're reading. The responsibility still lies with you, even though this is a way to facilitate your learning. Coming around to our take-home messages, and FOAM is here. It is a part of the way that people learn, and it is a part of the way that it's a part of the way this generation of doctors learn, but it's absolutely the part of the way that the next generation of, some medical students and residents learn.
Yes, and SSI has adapted to this. So you have a free website, and anyone can read it, and you can spread it from there, you can tweet it. And so, in a way, this isn't so different from what we're doing. It's just the way that we're communicating. You don't have to print it and send it by mail. You can just send it to someone, you can comment right away. So Jon Henrik can get a comment, what are you thinking here? Have you thought about changing this section? So it's all very immediate, and we like it.
It's more than just learning, it's the ability to network. But the advice is you need to be critical to what you're reading, you need to be open, and more than anything, you need to be nice. Your identity in, I don't want to call it this because it sounds like World of Warcraft, but the FOAM world, your Twitter account, that is you. These are open, these are visible to patients if they know where to search, they're visible to everyone. You should obviously discuss, criticize, and debate, but do it in the same way that you yourself would wish to be represented. These are our, I saw that Marjorie had a Twitter handle on the screen. These are ours, Sverige Jubileum. Well, I do work in Sweden, I've just taken the easy way out and pretended that because Marjorie's here, we'll do that actually. if you follow Sverige Jubileum or look at hashtag Sverige 2015, you can see all the updates from all of the lectures of this meeting. And if you need help with Twitter, we'll help. Thank you very much.
Thank you.